Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I moved back to my bedroom as my recording situation because my recording studio, my makeshift like mudroom or whatever it is, like the light burned out, a bunch of shit fell down. I can't get the right size carpeting in there. I'm like, I get it. You don't want to be a recording studio.
It's a regular money pit in your recording studio.
Hey, welcome to Sidework Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Brooke Van Poplin.
Hi, guys. I'm your other host, Andrea Wallace.
And joining us today, now multiple times, I'm a guest co-host of Sidework, our buddy from Confessions of a Server, Quaylen Harris, everybody.
I'm officially a co-host now, not a guest anymore.
It's a guest co-host title. Yep.
I mean, this is what, third time? Third time's a charm, so.
Third time's super big charm.
I can mess this one up.
Yeah. Oh, and comedy is in threes, and three solidifies things. So you're in. You're in officially.
Officially part of the family. Good.
And it's very nice to see your face. So we were just chatting that we hope that you're surviving the super cold winter as we are surviving our super mild LA winter.
You guys are so cold out there. So cold. Here's 19 degrees and you're dealing with 40 at the low. So I'll switch you whenever you want.
Okay,
hey man.
You know what? Sure. I don't want to move out to the Midwest with this snow situation because shoveling snow in Pennsylvania apparently spawns all sorts of violence in the driveway. Did you guys see that story drop?
Mm-mm. I did not.
It's insane. This happened out of Scranton. This is not food related, by the way. This is just a pandemic and a driveway shoveling, you know, one too many times and people snap. But neighbors across the street from each other were one guy was accusing the other neighbors. He's like, you're throwing your driveway snow into my driveway. And classic Midwest argument, that whole thing. Name calling starts. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, you can't call me that. I'm going to go get my gun. Then he goes into his house and gets a handgun. And they're going, do it. Why don't you do it? I dare you. It's like a husband and wife standing in the street going, yeah, big man, shoot us. He shoots both of them. This is all on camera. This happened this weekend. It's insane. Then went back in and got an assault rifle because they weren't dead and were trying to, this is like Fargo. We're crawling back into their driveway and finished them off with his assault rifle. The neighbors were like, hey, what's going on? Oh, no. And like ran. And then he walked into his house and killed himself.
Oh, snow.
I did not expect that ending. I thought it was going to be
I thought it was just going to be like someone lost a finger for the shovel, like a shoveler.
Right. You mean the way you think a story about shoveling a driveway would end, right?
I mean, people are on their fucking the last nerve situation is with winter and the pandemic. And that is... Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I'm speechless. I've never experienced anything like that ever.
Over snow, you know?
I don't know. Wow.
As we say on this show, it's not about the pasta. Like, something else was going on.
Absolutely.
With homeboy.
Also, side note, I used a snowblower for the first time last week in my whole life. And I was like, this could have saved so many lives just having a snowblower. Like, get everything out of there. It's like so satisfying. Like, while I was using it, like, I was just like, God, life is so much better now. But
and I think this is the unspoken rule too, is if you're the fancy person in the neighborhood who has the snowblower, you snowblow down the block.
Yeah.
It's what you do. You kind of pay it forward a little bit.
My dad had a snowblower, but every time it was my turn to shovel, it never had gas.
Oh.
But whenever he wanted to shovel, it magically always had gas. But whenever he wanted me to do it, it never had gas. So I was always out there with just a shovel, and I would only do like half the driveway. And like, well, whoever parked on this side, you're not getting out. I'm so sorry. But
I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
You're not going nowhere. Well, I feel like we covered all of our Midwest feels in the snow.
Yeah.
Anything else happening with you? Like you're all over TikTok now. Some of our listeners may not know that you're over there. So tell them where they can find you.
I've started a TikTok about 6 months. My name is not Quaylen Harris. It's Q Harris 8. It's not really server related content, but you know, I think I'm funny outside of being a server guy.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to explore your entire persona.
Exactly. And you know, I do all my server stuff. I've been doing that for 2 years. This, when I got on TikTok, my thing was, I just kind of want to be who I am.
Exactly.
You know, get out my other side of being funny and making relatable content just to everyday life. I have still done some server videos and stuff like that, because there's some sounds on there that I just couldn't pass up. Like, this would be a perfect video for like server life and things like that. But yeah, I've been doing that for about 6 months, and it's actually now my biggest platform. I got about 72,000 followers on there.
Woo-wee!
Yeah.
I figured it out.
I guess.
Well, I mean, Quaylen and I were talking yesterday too, you know, that it's like, it's really interesting to watch your coworkers, you know, at the restaurant job, at the bar, in the kitchen, regardless, like, be doing the same job as you, but you're like, they're online famous, you know, and they might be making money on the side. And like, what am I doing wrong as a server? Could I also be doing this? I think it's an interesting topic, you know. Maybe we could explore it for the podcast too.
I think you would just call it like modern hustling in a way, you know, because we always talk like, as servers, you're always like hustling one job, two job. This is just adding to that resume of like how to hustle and make all that money, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because like when I started doing Confessions of a Server, you know, none of my coworkers follow me. To this day, none of my coworkers really follow me or anything. I have a handful that do, and the ones that do, they're like, oh, you're so famous. So I had a manager who, she loved it. Like, she would let me go live while I was supposed to be working so she could be on everything. And she was phenomenal. And they're always like, you're famous. I'm like, I am legit the same person I was before. Y'all just didn't talk to me like this. I had this other side, or maybe I didn't talk to them because I really didn't talk to my coworkers much.
They just didn't know. They just weren't aware of the many roles that you, and multifaceted person that you are. They just didn't know.
But here we are. You're a podcasting sensation, a TikTok star, popular on Instagram, and you're able to rattle off the day's specials. So you are a multitasker.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I can rattle off the specials. Sometimes I just make it up. And then when I'm wrong, I'm like, oh, sorry. We just sold that last one. So
my bad.
Looks like I made up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we just have to quickly remind our listeners of a few things and a few thank yous, and then we will jump into all the goodies. So
yeah, you guys,
we'll
please,
do pre-shipping. Pre-shift real quick.
Rate, subscribe, review, all those things. We're still absolutely having that lovely contest. Basically, who can give us the best review rating? You know, go into the Apple Podcast, type your review, make it shine. First place being a lovely Establishing 86 t-shirt. Second and third place being a poster. Fourth place being a fart in a jar. If you hadn't heard of it, we're saying it for the third time now. A fart in a jar is fourth place.
I mean, no one's like, there's one person vying for it. You know, she's like the contender to beat. Yeah. Because right now, pretty much, like, I have already mostly filled out her address and I've started saving up farts, and I bought a brand new jar.
Silent but deadly auction for that fart in a jar, if I do say so myself. If someone wants to get in there and, you know, get your mitts on that too, go for fourth place, or rather first, second, or third is really what we're pushing for. Oh boy.
Will farts ever not be funny?
Nope. No, never.
Okay. 42 years old. It's the funniest thing ever. Raised on a healthy fart sense of humor. It just doesn't go away. And my grandmother, well into her late 90s, fart jokes all day, every day. It was just truly her medium. She loved a fart joke. So it's in my blood. Guys, our Patreon Secret Society of Server Submitted Stories Volume 5 just dropped today on the Patreon. We went almost an hour.
So fun. I have so much fun doing these.
I really do, too. And it's literally as much content as you get on a Friday episode. So I think we're getting better, having more fun stretching, using those server submitted stories. Quick preview of what you missed. If you're not on the Patreon at the $5 level, at least we talk about popcorn in the movie, working in a movie theater, and popcorn stains. Also the Wisconsin Kringle. Then there's a shooting after a fork stabbing at an Applebee's. Then there were these very dramatic teenagers who walked out on a tab. And then last but not least, some like Pacific Northwest coffee shop, like the most extreme coffee shop campers you've heard of. We went in on all this stuff. They were great topics for stories. So join, and we want to thank the newest Patreon members. Andrea, care to?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Kimberly Batone, Megan Pogue, Tara Hayden, and Christopher Roddy or Rody. Either
all right.
One. But yeah, thanks you guys so much for joining. We absolutely salute you. And welcome to the party.
Welcome, welcome. We'll probably put this, because Quaylen's always so fun to have on the show, we will be putting the episode, the live video streaming of it, also on the Patreon. So you can see all of our cute faces.
Glad
see,
I brushed my hair. Glad.
Awesome. Well, you guys, let's jump into some headlines, shall we?
Okay. So this is an article from Delish, keeping with a Valentine's Day theme, which we're going to absolutely lean into today, because what is the gift that keeps on fucking giving, I guess we'll say about Valentine's Day in the service industry? Fireball, okay?
Everyone's favorite.
Will pay you to mail your ex's stuff back to them in time for Valentine's Day. So basically they're saying if you currently have some crap laying around from your ex, Fireball will cover the cost of the shipping. You can mail them a receipt for the shipping and they'll send you back a gift card to cover the cost. This is so weird.
It's very weird. I'm on their Instagram right now, and this is like a hella aggressive Fireball logo, and it says chocolate is for amateurs. And it has a dragon blowing fire through a chocolate box of hearts. Yeah. And it says, the dragon doesn't do Valentine's Day. Have some junk from your ex laying around your house? It's time to clean that shit out and get rewarded for it. So this is so metal. This is so trashy Fireball whiskey.
You're like, drink some alcohol that has traces of formaldehyde in it.
But would you expect anything less from Fireball?
No.
No. Their bar is set so low. It's like, fine.
I have friends that love Fireball, and I look at you and I'm like, one, you're a trash human being. Two, yes, I will take a shot with you.
So yeah. Like, oh, I know. And plus, I was just talking with my siblings about like the amount of like street trash, like the little tiny Fireball flasks you can buy, because you can buy like six packs of them, and those things are like they're street trash now. Like
you can buy buckets of the mini ones. One of my friends did it for one of my birthdays. We got a party bus. And I had a friend buy a bucket of Fireball, and it was just the mini bottles of Fireball. So we were just doing that for a 2 to 3 hour party bus ride. And yeah, it was fun. But just Fireball, like I said, trash Fireball, human beings we are. So
it haunts us all. There's a bit of a, like, it didn't go as long as I hoped, but for my first Halloween party, when I invited a bunch of friends over, my friend Mitch Dress, who's been on the podcast as well, Mitch Bishop, he dressed as a wizard. And instead of his power of throwing real fireballs, he just had a handle of Fireball whiskey with him. And He gifted it to the party. Nobody touched it. And then it just sat. And so every party I subsequently had, I would put the handle of Fireball whiskey out and no one would crack it open. Party after party after party, haunting my cupboards for years. Also, yeah. I have to say, if your ex left, it might be because you drank Fireball, you know?
Or I was just thinking that, or if you got together in the first place, you know?
Because of Fireball.
Yeah.
Like if Fireball's the third in your throuple, you got problems, you know?
Can I read two responses from the Instagram post for this contest? Okay, first of all, this is from someone named Sam, and he goes, how do I get a sponsorship? But not one word. It looks like a sponsored ship. He says, I'm almost certain I buy more Fireball than any of you guys' customers and have single-handedly up your revenue in the great states of Tennessee and Mississippi by a significant amount. And he's holding a really big fish in his profile picture.
Oh, because then you know.
And then another response under the Instagram contest. Instructions unclear. I burned my ex's shit a long ass time ago.
Nice.
Well, nice. You win some, you lose some.
Yep, oh, you do.
I will say though, if Fireball was to sponsor me, I will take any sponsorship money from Fireball.
Okay, so do we know what automats are?
I do.
Okay, cool.
And a laundromat? I'm gonna guess a laundromat. No?
Right. I mean, the mat word must have a origin in being sort of like self-serve or whatever.
Yeah, automatic. Yeah.
Automatic. But automats used to be like the thing, the way. It's a very retro, like eating of the future. And you would walk up to these sort of almost like
vending machine.
Well, right. But I'm trying to think of where they were placed. They're like almost kiosks that would be located maybe on the side of like a department store, what have you. And they have like neon and all these signs. And then there's just clear glass windows with delicious homemade food sitting behind the window. You put a nickel in, open the door, hot, fresh cup of coffee in one window, whatever kind of slice of pie you want in another. A whole turkey dinner, meatloaf, you name it. This was how people used to sort of handle fast food. I fucking love automats. There's something really wrong with me. I'm just like, I go bonkers for these automats because they were popular in Europe still. Like they would have them in Amsterdam. And the few times I visited, I was like, yes, food behind a little
glass. They're
kind
of like roadside stop things, right?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And someone would, the way they would do it in the olden days is like the kitchen would prepare the fresh food, but it would be packaged so that it would be within a window of time where if it was a hot food dish, these would be like heated little compartments that they stayed in, or the hot coffee would be hot. Or if it was a cooler dish, like you want your dessert to be chilled, something like that, then those would go in the cool ones and it'd be, you know, like put in there fresh. Other ones, like the new ones popping up here in Jersey City, once again, as a COVID safe option for eating, is the kitchen is right behind the wall making shit to order, which is even more awesome.
So smart.
Is there's like automated touch screens where you're saying, yes, I would like some breakfast tacos. And you put your money and your information into the little door. They throw those breakfast tacos together in about 2 minutes flat. They open their side, slide it through, close it. You open yours. No contact. Delicious food. It makes me horny. I don't know why.
No, it's true. It is. It's like it's such a no-brainer that I completely get it. Another thing that is also back. Do you guys remember the Viennetta ice cream cake from like the 90s when we were kids? It was like a very like European, and I think it's British. Like, okay. And they still have it there. It was like an ice cream cake that had like really like ruffled like chocolate wafer like layers in between. That shit's also back. Like, I feel like there's a lot coming back at us that like everything that worked before is working even better for us now. Now, can I get a Viennetta in an automat? I'm the horniest girl in the town, but
I grew up poor, so I didn't have ice cream cakes. I was like 17 or 18. So
got it.
Thanks for teaching, telling me how poor I really was growing up.
No, that's not. No. It was a very special occasion.
Of auto mats and fancy ice cream cakes and
stuff. Well, I think all the automat stuff is like terribly affordable.
Right. It's like a nickel. But that was in decades before we were born. It's just more that. For a stretch in the early 2000s, believe me, I didn't go to an automat till I was a drunken 20-something-year-old because in New York City along St. Mark's, there was a replica of basically, it's either Danish or Dutch, something like that, but one called BAM, and it's spelled B-A-M-N exclamation point. And it was all lit up in neon pink and would blast like Madonna. It's like, I'm burning up for your love. And it looked like a goddamn disco floor with all of these windows filled with delicious junk food, like cheese puffs, like hot cheese puffs, macaroni balls. And me and former guest Brandy Barber would be getting trashed down the street and be like, automat time. And we'd go have a drunken dance party at BAM and just keep feeding the slots with money to get macaroni balls. It's
oh
just
my
like,
God. I love this story so much.
Sometimes, Brooke, you tell me stories and I get so jealous of your life that I want to be you when I grow up.
You don't.
I want to be you, find a time machine to be you 20 years ago so I can experience what you did, you know?
Do think it is the kind of thing where it's like the memory of it in the moment, you're so wasted, like dancing and stuffing your face and you think you're rock stars. And then you see someone like peeking in on Brandy and Brooke and they're like, look at these sad drunk girls, you know?
It's like a movie or a TV show, like How I Met Your Mother. Like you get the perspective of like the first person, they're dancing and everything, and then how it cuts away, like someone watching is like, what are these assholes doing?
Exactly.
You don't. It's so funny to you when you're drunk, but so funny to you. But like I don't know what it was. It was just like you could not. I was like a moth attracted to that pink neon. Get a few drinks in me, and I'd be like throwing myself against all of the fucking containers. Anyways, and they're coming back. They're a great COVID workaround. So if you are in and around the Jersey City area, or if you hear about them popping up anywhere else, go check it out. It's delightfully weird and fun, and it's legit food. Andrea, okay.
Yeah.
We've got one last headline.
This one we just got on our radar today. So out of Long Beach, California, we're talking about a specific restaurant called Restoration. Yes. Oh, I get it now. God damn it, Wallace. Long Beach, California. So this restaurant basically is doing breaking the rules during a pandemic and not stopping service on their back patio. And this story itself is coming from the point of view of the neighbors who are living, basically Vivian and Micah, who are living behind the restaurant in an apartment building and just having to deal with it every single day. So this woman, Dana Tanner, who owns it, you know, super nice and was basically like, nope, we're going to keep going. This is what we do. I want to employ my workers, you know, which we've talked about tons in the past. Even went as far on New Year's Eve to advertise in-person dining on the patio. After that happened, the city of Long Beach ordered the restaurant to close because of violating coronavirus rules. And then not long after that, her gas was shut off, basically. It came to a head. They shut off the restaurant's gas in an attempt to stop the antics. However, that Saturday evening after it happened, the neighbors, unaware that they had lost its gas earlier, they're watching TV in their home, and then they could hear some work being done outside the living room window, which happens to be situated above the gas meters for the restaurant's building. Then they suddenly heard a loud, high-pitched screeching noise and the sound of gas escaping out of the pipe. Oh, shit. So an overwhelming smell of gas filled their apartments, and basically they were like, oh fuck, what are we gonna do? And then they heard Dana go, oh, it's just me, he's almost got a cap on it. So basically what they've been doing at the restaurant is illegally trying to restart their gas, which is a huge violation of the city. So
these people are pandemic pests.
Yeah.
They are, it's above and beyond them, you know, being like, it's unfair, we got to keep our workers employed. They flouted every safety protocol. They keep just wanting to get notoriety from being covered and being told to shut down, getting news press. They're doing everything that is, honestly, it's about them getting attention versus actually keeping customers and workers safe, which is why I hate these dumb fuckers. And now they hooked up an illegal gas line to an apartment building.
And that's what's being said has really elevated the case against them. You know, I think maybe in the beginning it was being like, look, we told you to close, you need to close. We told you a second time, look, we'll see what we want to do about this. We know it's a pandemic, you might get a fine. But now shit is like bad because you can't just tamper with a gas line. That is that's going to be like big charges.
They could have blew something up.
I mean, and here's the thing, Quaylen, is like they wouldn't have blown up their restaurant because it wasn't exactly their gas line. They would have blown up the innocent residents from the apartment complex.
Yeah.
They were siphoning it off of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't understand people's thought process. Like, okay, we're going to get around this. Let's steal gas from somewhere. Like, no. Americans. That's what it gets down to.
It's just truly like, listen, we've asked, we've insisted, we've begged, we've shown you data, we've given you options. And I know that the other side of it is, yes, many of the options that our government have rolled out have been absolute garbage for the service industry.
Right.
But she clearly refused to do any of the things that other businesses did to pivot and stay open.
Well, on Thursday afternoon, they were open for business again, despite no longer having a health permit or gas. The patio currently seats 36 people and is full most nights. Several couples left or waited to be seated. Oh, hold on. Let me start over. Oh, basically they're saying, so there's a sign on the back patio that warned anyone from the government or law enforcement was not welcome. And the staff cooked and cleaned with electric flat top grill, an electric fire, and an electric water heater. So that's what's happening now.
This business has just turned into a pop-up in their own place of this person is a goddamn cockroach, a human cockroach at her own restaurant. She's like, no, I'm not an anti-masker or COVID denier, but everyone's like, her rhetoric is 100% this. She, you know, it's like these people can't even be proud of being the piece of shit they are, you know, which is so funny to me. They're like, no, I'm not that. And then you go to their social media and it's like, masks are for losers.
Yeah. Well, and at the same time, she received like $71,000 in a PPE loan under the CARES Act last year. And now she's facing up to 21 misdemeanor charges with up to $52,000 in fines already. Oh, my
Lord. The thing that comes to my mind when I hear stories like that, especially the part where she said there's a sign that says government officials and police or whatever are not welcomed, I envision like a policeman walking up and reading the sign like, oh, guys, there's a sign, we're not welcome.
There's a sign.
Let's turn us around. Let's go back. Like, why do you think a sign is going to stop you? Like, if anything, that is going to be like, all right, let's get in here and get them. But, you know, in her mind, she thought a sign is going to stop the government from shutting her down this time.
Yeah.
To be honest, she's one of the lucky ones, you know, and then has been an asshole this entire time, which is, you know, a wild, wild portion of Southern California. As many of you know, a lot of the people who marched on Washington came from Orange County and Beverly Hills. So anyways, what a bunch of upstanding.
And the whole nation gives Florida and Ohio shit. And I love I love being from Ohio. But we really want to dig deep down, like you Californians. I love you all as well, but
I love it when people are like, yeah, snowflakes from California. And I was like, you don't do your research. Like, Like, it's not like that the whole state. Like,
we have two really big, really liberal cities, and then everything else, it's out there, man. You know, it's yeah, there are two. There are a lot of different types of Californians for sure. And we're not all Hollywood libtards, as I've been called many times on social media.
All right, guys, well, let's get into some server
submitted stories.
All right. Hello, hello. Just started listening and I saw your call for Valentine's Day server submitted stories. I'm a barista and every Valentine's Day, I try to attempt the little art of heart latte art. That's what. Because they could really make someone's day. They can be trickier than they look. And I've definitely made some very penis shaped looking hearts. One Valentine's Day, I was doing the lattes and made a very sick looking latte art, only to sled it across the bar and hand it to the customer I had a crush on. He silently looked at the cup and the art and then at me and said, dicks on Valentine's Day. I couldn't form the words and just began making the next latte in line. I never spoke to him again. Godspeed. Good tips and cheers, Jane.
I mean,
talk about a dick pic.
Do
you think it's when it slid across? Is that when you think it formed more of the dick shape?
Well, she put in there that before they always come out sometimes like a dick. So,
oh no, I know, but I just wonder if
she did it on purpose. If she's trying to say like she didn't, you know, because he didn't like it. I'm sure if he liked it and winked at her, she wouldn't have submitted it. So you know, it's all right. It's all right.
I think that's a good icebreaker, though. You know, I hope, but apparently not in this situation.
I remember getting to, you know, the point in the barista job, which we all talk is like when you get to be the milk person, the steamer, which is like higher up on the chain because you're finishing off everyone's drink, but you're also able to kind of like be the one who's doing like cool convo while you're holding the carafe and steaming it. And it was a fun place because then you got to do the art and then give them the presentation, and God, it was so easy to develop crushes when you see the same people coming in for coffees all the time. And like, I'd always pick out, you know, whatever guy was flavor of the week when I worked at Joe Art of Coffee, but you felt like such a creep, like when you would do the heart, which is honestly like you try and mix up your latte art all the time and Rosettas aren't super easy. And so you definitely felt like an ass every time you made a heart and gave it to someone and they'll be like, oh, she likes me. And be like, no, I'm lazy. It's the easiest one to do in my mind. They can end up looking dick-like. Thank you, Jane. I know it sounds like you just started listening to the pod and thank you so much for writing in.
I got a very short one. Was once serving the table of my friends and what I thought was my other friend's girlfriend on Valentine's Day. I was awkward as fuck the whole time. Found out a week later, the girl has a twin and each twin happened to be dating a friend of mine.
Ooh.
That I know. I had to. Awkward.
I had to unpack that for a minute. Have you guys, because I've had that in the past where I'm like, this is bad. And then you found out, oh, there's another one of them. Oh, good Lord.
I dated a triplet.
Oh, really? Wow.
They didn't look alike, but you were still like kind of mix them up. And I worked with one. So I worked with one, and I dated one. And I could tell the difference between, but sometimes you were still like, slip up on a name and stuff like that. And then I also worked with another girl who was an identical twin. And if you were to see them out, you never knew which one was which. So the first time I realized her name was Abby, had an identical twin, I went up to her sister, made a joke about work, and she was like, I'm not Abby. And I'm like,
my bad. Here's the thing. You know what? They're sneaky. They know they're sneaky. We talk about them like creatures. You know, we just said like I've seen some before. Have you ever met some of those?
Dating stuff, though, like that's some like 1980s like sitcom antics shit.
Hey, Brooke and Andrea, I saw your prompt for Valentine's Day stories on Instagram. I racked my brain trying to think of a good one, but nothing's really worth saying other than this. My dad passed away tragically after a Valentine's Day party 10 years ago. It's safe to say this is not my favorite holiday, but I do think it is safe to say that because of that incident, I ended up where I am now. I've gained so much working in the industry, and I am proud of that. I think my dad would be too. Hey, at least you don't need to worry about a date when you are working a double. Thank you for what you do. I love the content. Godspeed and good health, Stanley.
It is so terrible when like tragic things happen on major holidays and you just don't ever feel the same way about it. But I do think if it was any holiday, Valentine's Day is a good one because fuck Valentine's Day.
Because fuck, right? Right? It only just goes to show that this is a cursed day of all the holidays. But I agree, you know, Stanley's written in a few times. He told us initially that he was like working his ass off in a pizza joint. I think he's in New York State or New York City. I forget what, but like he's been so vocal about how much the service industry has given him like an awesome work ethic and good friends and all this stuff. So he's been so sweet to correspond with over the past couple months. And sorry, dude, it's hard enough because you always remember the anniversary or of the day when someone special to you passes, and it can just be any day of the year, but it's important. And then when it coincides with a day when other people have so much other emotion built into it, that can be extra hard. So yeah, I feel you, man.
But you know, on not saying in his case, but on the other hand, sometimes stuff like that, working those busy days takes your mind.
Absolutely.
Off of it, because yes. My grandma died the day before Mother's Day, my very first year working in a restaurant, I couldn't take off, but it helped get my mind off of everything because I was working and I wasn't at home thinking about my grandma passing both that Saturday and that Sunday. So that time can be like a relaxing time for your mind and stuff like that. So
it's good. This, yeah, serving is not like sitting at a desk with nothing to do and where your mind can wander to the right. Sad places. So, yeah, I hear you. The service industry is good, busy work.
Yeah. Well, you guys
run from your problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you again, you guys, for those super submitted stories. If you are inspired by this episode and have any more Valentine's Day stories to send our way, please do. If not, just everyday regular server submitted stories and any line of service work, always welcome.
Sideworkpod@gmail.com.
All right, guys. Well, here we go, diving into the topic of the day. Like we were talking before, it is the return of Valentine's Day, part 3, maybe the last installment of the trilogy. I don't know. Who fucking knows?
Right, because there was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Then there was Valentine's Day Strikes Back. And now This is Return of the Valentine's Day.
Right. So. But as we know, there still could be a series of prequels to Valentine's Day. So let's keep that in mind. So, there's a lot of trauma to unpack. And we just can't leave well enough alone, basically. Also, it's a fucking pandemic. Love during the time of COVID. And that for sure is not going to stop this stupid Hallmark holiday from unfortunately happening across the goddamn country. Okay.
Oh boy. I found this to be particularly hilarious is that New York City opens indoor dining just in time for Valentine's Day.
you knew a lot of places were going to do that. This is what, the second, third busiest holiday of the year.
Yeah.
People aren't going to lose out on their money. You know, they saw how, they saw how big of a shit show Mother's Day was with just takeout, and places are like, you know what? No, we need to have our indoor dining open so we don't have to deal with what we had to deal with during Mother's Day.
Absolutely. But you know, part of me, you guys, even though I know restaurants need the money to survive, I love the whole like get your package to go, food and go. But as a server, if I was going to be like, you mean I don't have to wait tables on this Valentine's Day and just take a knee for 1 year, I'd be pretty goddamn happy about it.
Well, I will say somehow, some way, I have been able to avoid Valentine's Day more than I've had to work in 11 years.
Wow.
I've had to work a few, trust me. And I got stories. We get into them later, especially about my first Valentine's Day. But yeah, I've had friends get married and luckily I was in the wedding, or it would fall on days where I was not scheduled to work. And luckily I had a big enough staff to where I wouldn't have to work. Or one year I worked at like a burger and pizza joint. So I'm like, when it fell on there and I'm like, you guys won't need, no one's coming to get a fucking pizza.
Heart-shaped pizza? Yeah. Yes, they are. They're
not this place.
Hey, I mean, haven't you heard about the Valentine's bouquet of ribs?
Oh my gosh.
Short ribs?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'll take three, please.
So out of 11 years, I think I've only had to work like six Valentine's Day, and I am not.
That's
bad.
Pretty magical. Yeah. Well, and like restaurants are only open to 25% capacity, as far as indoor dining is concerned in New York.
So it won't be as crazy.
But it is an interesting thing.
But it's so funny to me where any of the new listeners, if you haven't started from the beginning of the podcast and, you know, caught up till now, absolutely go back. And if you just love to hate on Valentine's Day, it's really worth listening to our two previous years worth of Valentine's Day episodes as well. So know that we're not skimping on the topic by any means, but no. We cannot stress enough how much that, like, we hate New Year's Eve. Valentine's Day is amateur hour for couples.
Oh,
as well. So funny to me because you usually get the couples who hate each other the most,
right,
who demand to go out to eat. And it's really funny to me that it's like, yeah babe, how about I take you to an indoor restaurant during a pandemic? Let's take those. I'm gonna no, you go
I
ahead,
but
and
I want to eat inside. I don't want to eat outside. I want to eat inside. I want to eat inside. I don't care if it kills me. I don't care, babe. I love you. I'm just imagining a lot of like face masks accidentally being set on fire by table candles.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. You know that. Or flowers are going to, like, some girl's going to be sitting there crying because her rose got, half her rose is burnt and it's going to ruin her entire Valentine's Day. And she's going to not tip her server because her fucking boyfriend was dumb and, like, dropped the rose on the flower, on the fire.
Right. Happy.
Because let's not forget that if Valentine's Day doesn't go perfect, which has nothing to do with your service or the restaurant, they're still going to take it out on you through the tip. So that's just a fact. One more visual. You know how everyone thinks that they have to go get themselves a goddamn dozen chocolate covered strawberries and just someone picking up one of those strawberries to feed it to their lover while they pull down their mask, eat the chocolate strawberry, put
strawberries
it back up.
All over the mask, chocolate all over the mask.
As they're chewing and then they have to like kiss with their mask on, you just,
ew, what a mouse. It's so gross. Stay home, you freaks.
You say freak like it's a bad thing.
So we're just gonna like dive into this, and I want to talk couples today, like specifically, like that's what I wanted like our Valentine's Day topic to be, you know. And there's a ton we have to deal with, but before we get into that, statistically, and this is so fucking good, you guys, oh my god, I howled at this headline. American couples spend 5.5 days a year deciding what to eat. Which is so fucking real. Like, it's such a thing. And of course, men are more aggressive. They'll be like, whatever you want, babe. I don't care. Which gives me fucking rage. I don't know about you. Just to be like, just have a fucking opinion. Whatever you want. Like, it is a thing amongst couples that will never die. It's on top of how one unloads and loads up the dishwasher correctly, in my opinion.
But you have to look out on the man's side, not to get too far into this. It might give you rage. Sure. But if we pick the wrong place, one, you're going to get annoyed because you had that yesterday and we didn't know. Or two, you're just going to tell us no anyways. So just fucking tell. Guys don't care. Have you seen the Kevin Hart special, the new one that he just put out, where he is legit saying like, we don't care. We don't have any worries. Like, are you going out? Like, yeah. Where are you going? We don't know. Like, that's just how guys are. Like, we don't know. We don't care what we do. It's more important to y'all.
Well, and it isn't so much that. It's just like as two brains put together that can't decide what to eat over and over and over again is a thing. You know, yes. I have this thing where it's like, you know, you get together, you're in a couple, you don't need Tinder anymore. So then you graduate to what I call Dinder, you know, and you both have to swipe and connect on what you want for dinner that night. Oh, look, we both swipe right on tacos. Bing, bing, bing. We're having fucking tacos.
And the problem is, okay, so like say that you've waited too long and you're both too hungry to start deciding. And then it basically World War III pops off over food.
Yep.
I am very hungry.
So just know, like all of these couples, and we're going to riff on all of these jerks. Like they've been going through all this before they get to you, before they get to your table that you're going to wait on them. And so let's just like take turns like going through. And obviously if there's more that I forgot, you know, but like the first date, let's start with the couple. It's their very first date, you know, like do they announce it? Usually it gets announced at some point. I feel like
their first date on Valentine's Day.
Oh, not just like, you know, not necessarily just on Valentine's Day, but I think there are first dates on Valentine's Day too, you know.
That's a bold move right there on both of their parts, but, you know.
But then again, for a guy, it kind of helps because you always remember the day you had your first date.
There you go.
Valentine's Day.
That's okay. This is great advice. It's good to have another perspective on here instead of two women.
I feel like that's where you get brought in as like a third person too. Like they're like, oh, please stay and talk to us. We don't really know each other that well. Can you stay and hang out with us some more, server? I feel like that would happen.
Yeah. You can always tell first dates though. I feel like I could always tell because how awkward they were and the conversation that they were having. They're like,
yes.
So what's your favorite color? As you're like trying to refill the water and it's like, oh, first date, you know, or like just looking around like, awkwardly trying to find something to talk about, like so.
Right, like, oh, should we order a bottle of wine? Oh, I don't drink. Oh, right. You know, stuff like.
and here's a hot tip for those of you basically who don't work in the service industry and you are serial daters out at a restaurant. We listening, okay? It is our favorite thing. We can spot you from a mile away. If I'm refilling your water a bunch, it's because I can't get enough of how bad your date is going.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that makes me think.
It's because I'm interested.
Because you know that either there's those men or women who like bring all their first dates to the same restaurant all the time. Yes. So the staff is like, oh my God, here they are again with another. Like,
sometimes we hope that it's a bad experience because we want you to come back with another one and see how bad that one can be. Or maybe that's just me because I'm an asshole, but you know, it's entertaining to me.
We live for anything that kind of like varies, you know, the job up a little bit. And we're all anthropologists. All we do is like sociology. We are studying you.
Well, let's move on to the fighting couple, the couple that comes to dinner to fight with each other.
And I feel like they exclusively choose Valentine's Day.
Yeah. There's just a bad juju on the holiday anyway. Might as well just fight through it.
I don't know why, but this is probably in the top three of couples that I've always had to deal with every single time. Like, once or twice a shift, like I always get a couple that's arguing, and it's sometimes very awkward because you go up to the table and you just see like the girl swiftly turn her head to the side and she's like crying and you hear sniffling and you're like,
oh God,
is it your salad? Did you want ranch dressing instead of Italian? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Or is it your incompatible love languages?
And then you look at the guy, he just gives you that look. He's just like, and he waves you away, and it's
not
just
right
like,
now.
I've always had to deal with the fighting couple, and I don't know why. And
or like the yelling whisper, just that, don't you fucking talk to me like that, like.
Yeah.
So well, it's the body language is so insane. And it's such a read and such a tell. You can see it from a mile away. A couple that's having a great time together is relaxed. You know, they've got open body language. They're leaning in. They're sharing. When you've been fighting, there's a lot of closed. You're apart. And usually someone is staring really hard at the door or the wall, anywhere other than the person they're there with.
And you could just feel that vibe when you're at the table. Yeah. Like, it's just like an aura that you walk into and you're just like,
ouch. Is it cold in here? Did it just drop 20 degrees?
Yeah.
It's so hard to wait on people like that. And, you know, we've said before, too, that just this is the night where it puts on blast all of the reasons that women get super upset at their significant other, because I hate to simplify it so much into like gender politics like this, but it is usually women cracking the whip about, I need this to be special. This means so much to me, because we've been advertised to since birth that we should be given chocolates and a stuffy and someone should love us and it should be special. And right. this holiday is garbage. None of my friends, no one who I respect, especially if they've worked in the service industry, gives a flying fuck about Valentine's Day.
Do you have any friends that are single? Because that's the kind of girl I need.
All right. So flipping from cold to hot, the fucking PDA couple, guys.
These are the couples I hate the most, because not so much that they're the PDA couple, but you know, they're the ones that walk into a fucking busy restaurant and ask for somewhere private.
Yeah. Right.
And it's where is Valentine's Day? Where do you want to be private at? Like, you're going to have to sit next to someone. And this is, you know, this is pre-COVID is what I'm talking. Right. But can you just feel my anger coming through right now? My gosh, I hate it. And then they get mad because the person next to them is chewing too loud or something like that. If you want somewhere private, stay the fuck at home. And y'all can sit there and eat and hump and be naked all you want and show all the PDA that you want. But I don't want to sit here, be waiting on you while you're rubbing her feet.
Hand weighs you up on the inner thigh. Like, the touching so inappropriate.
We know what you're doing. Yeah.
Totally making out in the booth. Like,
it's really hard to be around. I love this visual, is that you're like, yes, follow me. And you're like, more private, you say. And you're like, come on, come on. And then you walk them through the kitchen and then out the back delivery door and then hit your car fob and go, boop, boop. And then you go, here is my car. You may sit in here.
Wait, you let them bone in your car? Good call.
best
these are
ever.
The couples. It's exhibitionism in a way, obviously. Right. Like, they want people to see them fuck, like, basically in public. And these are the kind of couples that you'll probably be like, are they both in the bathroom right now? Ew.
Ew.
You know?
Ew.
Ew.
But I will say there's also prejudice, though, when you're like, like, hot couples who know they're hot and they're like, we want you all to get horny off how hot we are. And you're kind of like, oh, God, like, maybe my sex life isn't as good as it could be. Look at this hot couple. But then if you see some uggos, you're like, seriously, go back to the barn. Oink.
Yeah. Oh, no. Either way, I'm going into the walk-in to rub one out. You know what I mean? All right, the drunk couple.
Ugh. Which can also be the PDA couple, but that's when actually you see, like, the tip of a dick out, you know?
Or just, like, the couple that's just like, we're gonna get super fucked up. Keeper, you want to do shots with us? Let's do shots. Let's all do shots together. Like, that's that kind of couple.
I love drunk couples. Because then I can be, like, funny and myself, maybe drop a couple F-bombs, and they always overtip because they're drunk and they don't know how to math. And, yeah, give me all the drunk couples, all of them.
Or they do know how to math. They're just drunk, fun people, you know? Yeah. And obviously, like, make sure the safe, but, yeah, it's the drunk couples are, I think, also pretty fun. Absolutely. The silent couple.
And here's the thing. You quickly learn to gauge that you're like, oh, no, they're not fighting. They've just been together forever.
They just don't speak to each other.
They ran out of things to say 6 years ago. But they sure do enjoy going out to eat.
Yeah, the ambiance of it, the experience, the lighting. Who needs conversation when you can just stare at a tablecloth, huh?
At a tablecloth. Yeah. I don't mind these couples either, because that means that I don't have to do that much talking.
Yeah.
I can sit here, maybe give my other tables a little bit more time.
Right.
Because they're good. They got what they need. They're good. Yep. They don't need that much attention. And most of the time, I get tipped really well from silent couples, because they're like, thank you for not always coming over here. Thank you for just letting us be. Boom. And for anyone who might be listening right now that's new, learn how to read your tables so you can pick up on these little signs where people don't want that above and beyond service, and they might just want to be left alone and just quiet. It'll do you so much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will.
The coolest fuck couple. Maybe they're ex-industry, maybe they're in the industry. Either way, they're like so cool and leave you such a big tip, and like you want to be their friends and you love them.
And you want to go out and party with them afterwards, and yeah, you know, you slide them like your phone number, like, hey, where y'all going? Let's get drunk together.
I would like to say the other side of that coin is like very cool, very show-offy, like hipster, but a little like they're server splaining to you, like how to do your job a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Used to work there, or they worked at another place, and then you're always like, yeah, let's if you really did do all this stuff, we'll see how it works out in the tip. And then you're like, that was an okay tip at best. This person's a goddamn huckster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I also have the rude asshole couple. And I think what you're talking about, Brooke, lives in between the rude asshole couple and the coolest fuck couple. They're like right there in the middle. Ugh. Whereas that rude asshole couple is just like, and Drew Talbert just had a video on this, right? It was like two like stupid hipsters who like get together and like have different like points of view, but the reason why they get together is they're both rude to servers.
Yes, that is such a great
one. I gotta check it out.
These are the people who will be like, there's something wrong with my drink, and you'll be like, oh well, let me take that away and get rid of it, and they'll be like, mm-mm, you can't have it, but bring me another one and I'm going to drink this and you can't charge me for it. Like, that is that behavior. Well, let's talk about the regulars, you guys, who like you see at any other time, but they happen to come in for Valentine's Day because they support the restaurant and they support you. And, you know, it's just going to be an easy table because they're the best.
They're the best. And you know what? The thing with the regulars, though, is I do feel like it's a scarcity to see regulars because they know that it's going to be a bad night, because they know that's how the restaurant usually is, and they know enough like a server to stay far, far away.
See, that's so true too, because we know that. We certainly know to stay the fuck away from a lot of our favorite places on any given holiday. But like, it is nice to be like, oh, you're here. Oh, there's Norm. You're normal, and I see you.
They're
you know?
A breath of fresh air.
Exactly.
They come in, they sit at your table, you're like, okay. I know if they get it, they might get that. I might be a little angry right now. They might get them. I'm busy, but they're fine. No matter what happens, they're fine.
They're your touchstone. They're your rock of Gibraltar.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what they want already. It's just easy peasy.
And it's so fun when a regular is like, actually, we're going to go a little outside the usual tonight. And then you get like so excited for them. And then you have the weird convo where you're like, oh, look at you guys.
Yep.
Do this.
And then like the rest of the staff like takes everybody stops by one at a time to say hi to them. Like,
or on Valentine's Day, they bring everyone like treats.
Oh, yes.
And Valentine's and candies and goodies, you know, because they love us. They know we're not getting love on this day. Well, I wasn't.
All right. The sweet old couple I threw in there. I thought would be a fun one.
I love a sweet old couple, you know, as long as it's not there. Oh, man, there used to be this single diner that I would wait on. He would come in, dine by himself in a 3-piece suit. Like dressed to the nines. And I'm telling you, I just remembered him, you guys. And we all just really wanted to know his story, because he looked like he walked out of Central Casting on a film set in like 1962. And he was really tall. He had to be late 80s. He was just probably one of those young, because it's the city, you know, life sort of people, because you walk everywhere, you stay in great shape. And he would just stare straight ahead and eat 3 courses, was really, really specific about it, and then have a coffee. And I always was like, is he going through the motions of the way he used to maybe dine with his wife? And aww, he wasn't a great tipper, so that like bummed me out, but he was really, really like, he tipped like it was 1962. But I knew exactly what he wanted and he never strayed from it. So he was really, really easy to wait on. And I was just like, whatever's going on, this guy just really needs to go through these motions right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say I love sweet old couples.
Especially when they do get dressy and he like pulls a chair out for her. Yeah. And like there's, yeah.
It's like that's the purest form of love, is a sweet old couple. You know, mm-hmm, that they love each other. I can't even, like, my parents are an old couple. They've been married, mm-hmm, for 61 years.
Wow. Oh, yeah. You told me that.
I always say they still love each other. They just don't like each other anymore. Old couples still like each other. Still want to like be around each other. And like you see the gentleman walk in holding her purse and stuff like that. You know, stuff like that makes my day. It makes me like smile and my heart warm. Like I still have hope for true love. And then I go on to my dating apps. I'm like, nope.
Somebody squashes all over it when they server explain you how to cook a fucking whatever, because but those glimpses of happiness are just lovely to be able to witness, for sure.
Yeah.
I have one left just because I couldn't stray away from this, you guys, and that's the same ciders, huh?
Same ciders. We sit on the same side of the booth.
So I saw this. I saw you wrote that down there. I'm like, did she watch my video about my biggest pet peeves?
Oh no, I haven't.
Same ciders are my biggest pet peeve. I fucking hate them, and I don't even know why. I don't know why I hate them so much, but same ciders, they come in, they're staring ahead, and like I'm sitting here thinking, why are you with someone if you don't want to sit across from them? Sitting at the bar stuff, that's completely different. Different.
But absolutely.
You're there to have conversations with this person, to enjoy this person's company. Why are you sitting on the same side of the booth, staring ahead, not talking to each other? And if you want to talk, you're like this the whole time. Just fucking sit. Like, you don't love your partner that much where your shoulder doesn't have to touch them for 45 minutes to an hour. I don't know why I hate same side of the booth people so much.
I barely like sitting next to Brian when we're out with two other people. I'm like, sit across from me. Don't sit next to me. Gross.
Yeah, I don't know why I hate it so much, but it is my biggest pet peeve. And I get so, like, a little
it's
part of me dies.
It's creepy and weird. Like, it's so taboo in the restaurant world. Like, it just makes no sense to me. And it's inappropriate. It leads to no good.
I feel too, okay, now, hear me out. I have maybe same-sided on a date.
I wonder why Brooke was so quiet.
I was like, no. It's not an often time thing. It's usually like a bar restaurant sort of situation. I feel like the time to same side is if you've closed your check and gotten one last drink, paid for it, and then I've done like a little, I'm going to come here so that we, not gross handsy as in PDA, but get cuddly, like, and finish a drink.
Sure, yeah, sure.
That's fine.
And there are appropriate establishments for that type of behavior where it's encouraged.
Right. I'm not trying to same side at... I'm just trying to think where it's also just
Applebee's.
Impossible.
I was just about to say Applebee's.
You're not going to go just to about to say it.
I wish we would have seen it, said it together.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say it together, Quaylen. 1, 2, 3.
Applebee's.
same siding also makes me think you're both wanted by the FBI and you need to keep your eyes on the door and the establishment at all times.
That's an interesting take.
You're both CIA, maybe, or that you're wanted.
Like, well,
and also, like, is she on the inside? So she's like, or is he on the inside? Like, who's being held captive by their partner? You know, I don't know.
When I'm serving, I like to talk back and forth. Like, you know, that's part of my thing. You know, I'm having conversation with both of you. But if I'm just sitting there looking at both of you dead in the eye like this, And I'm just sitting there standing. I'm like, it's just awkward for me. Like,
well, suddenly you're doing stand up versus like serving and engaging. You're like, yes. Hey guys, thanks for coming out tonight. Anyone celebrating a birthday? Either right. of you guys? That's okay.
True. Now, if it was twins who are same siding, I'd believe that. And I'd run for the hills.
Fucking same siders.
Anybody have any other couples that I missed to add, or did we run the gamut? Do we think we covered it all?
You also had the young couples, like the teenage couples that are coming out who are kind of awkward, you know,
because it might
like they're high school. He wants to impress her, knowing that he can only really afford a side of cheese fries and stuff like that. But, you know, you still are like, you know, at least you're trying to be cute. You guys are good, you know?
Yeah, here's your two sodas and your cheese fries. Now get the fuck out of my section.
Right.
And they're cute. They're like way too dressed up in a really obvious way where they look like they borrowed dad's suit sort of thing. And the girl is like real nervous. It's like her first time doing a full face of makeup.
It's just caked on. Yeah.
And you're like, why do you have a flower pin in your hair? It's not homecoming. You know, they're so cute.
They're adorable.
They really are.
Just get ready for a lifetime of disappointment in the dating world, kids.
I feel like, and I can picture myself because I was just trying to remember in my suburb I grew up in, it's called Rochester, but like, I think it was this goofy chain called Eastside Mario's, and it was like an Italian joint, and it looked like it was off a Universal Studios lot where it's like it had like strings of laundry strung across because you're in Italy. It was just the cheesiest place. Uh-huh. And I went there as a teenager. I was a junior in high school for a Valentine's Day date with the guy I was dating named Scott. And he brought me a present. It was a skirt, which is the weirdest present to give a girlfriend. So he bought me a skirt from the Express and then he dumped me during dinner. During dinner, then you're sitting here.
He was
like,
"I hate to see you go, but at least I know it's going to be nice to watch you walk away in that skirt, baby."
If you know what I mean.
Briefly, let's touch on if you hate all of this silly Valentine's Day talk. Remember, there's always those anti-Valentine's Day celebrations out there. A lot of rejection show. Oh, there's a rejection show annual party.
Yes. It used to be in Brooklyn. That was our favorite. Is our friend had a long running series called The Rejection Show, where he would book people and all you performed was anything that had been rejected, like by an agent, by trying to submit it for a writing thing, like just whatever, something that went horribly, and you got a chance to reintroduce the content, and it was so funny and cathartic, and people would be laughing at you because it was maybe so bad, or they'd be laughing because it was actually good and it deserved a shot or whatever. So he would do like heartbreak, like every year, a rejection show, heartbreak stories. People would do live stories of being dumped, and then it was like that was a thing I would bring a date to. That's how I roll. Is I was like, let's go laugh at love together and get really drunk.
Oh, I love that. And you know, your bartenders go above and beyond to like, you know, help give a big fuck you to Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Bars across the country. And this will, I'm sure by next year, maybe back in full swing. You know, they have great drink specials to get you wasted. They've got DJs spinning anti-love songs. Yep. They're playing breakup movies on the TVs. There's places that bring paper shredders in.
Yep.
So you can shred photos and love letters from your ex. And then fun menu themes like stinky cheese and bitter beers and sour cocktails and crabby sandwiches. There's so many ways to like lean into anti-Valentine's Day, which we absolutely love. But
that's my favorite. We've talked about Galentine's, which is great. And this year we're all about the anti-Valentine's Day, which if you're on Instagram or Twitter, it is a hashtag. If you're looking for fun stuff to do, hashtag anti-Valentine. Your local bar, eatery, or whatever, if you're allowed to go to these places, outdoor or space or limited, are probably doing something really fun. So just be safe, have a good time, or call it It's a fucking pandemic, people. What a great excuse to not give a fuck about Valentine's Day this year.
Absolutely. But, you know, I guarantee that there's still restaurants like leaning into anti-Valentine's Day and doing specific meals for that. Like maybe there's a pizzeria who's doing like a sad pizza for one that's an extra, extra large for a discounted price just for one person. Like
that sounds so good.
Same with even like if you are celebrating, remember all your local establishments are probably pushing like awesome to go to for two packages, which also can be for one person. Who gives a fuck, you guys? But that's been our part three return of Valentine's Day episode. Quaylen, thank you so much for being with us as usual. You're the goddamn best.
Thank you for having me. You just made me so excited that I'm not working Valentine's Day.
In a pandemic.
Can I just say
things.
One thing real quick? Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned this before.
Yeah, I was going to say parting words, parting advice.
Okay, parting words. So this is my favorite Valentine's Day memory.
Okay, here we go.
Isn't really on the day, but it's the best prank that I've ever played on any of my coworkers. I convinced my coworker and my manager that Trump changed Valentine's Day from February 14th to the second Friday of every February. And my manager started freaking out, went into the office, started switching the schedule to staff because she legit thought that he changed Valentine's Day, him and my coworker. Yeah, so
that's hilarious.
Quaylen, yeah. You should be president. I mean, your powers of persuasion.
I think it's also the like all that guy's capable of fucking anything, so it must be
that
true.
That was his response too. He's like, you never know what he was gonna do. But he was like dead serious. He's like, are you serious? Had him believing this for a week. Like
and then
one shift, I'm walking into my shift and I see him and my manager like speed walking to me. And my manager stopped me. She's like, did Trump really change Valentine's Day? And I could not keep it in because I didn't even tell anyone else that I played this trick on him. I think I told like one or two other people and they were in on it. But I just like couldn't hold back anymore.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good premise for the Confessions of a Server prank show edition.
I got a lot of them.
Oh my God. Well, again, you guys send those server submitted stories our way if you have them.
Oh yeah. Tell us how it went if you didn't have to work this dreaded day. We're still going to read your stories after the event, after the fallout of Valentine's Day. Most importantly, though, please stay safe, safe, safe.
100%. All right, you guys. And you know, well, you know what we say at the end of every episode, Brooke?
Godspeed.
And good tips, guys. Until next week.
We'll talk to you then. Thanks for joining us, Quaylen.
Thank you. Thank you.